Radio Daily.
For another one of these things that it is, and we know what they are, so you know you've got the t-shirts and it's fantastic and I appreciate that you do. Welcome to the 6th of July. So yeah, we're late with little things, but we'll get to stuff. It's a fan-fantastic one, you know, and we're ready to see what happens with the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, you know, the lady that looks at the world and says, yeah, I think I get that. That's the Flintstress.
At what point did my life go Looney Tunes?
Oh, I guess it sounds the same. Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You know, you really will like me when you get to know me.
I mean, I like to tell myself that. It helps a bit. What happened on this fine day?
Well, in 1885... French scientist Louis Pasteur and his colleagues inject the first of 14 daily doses of rabbit spinal cord suspensions containing progressively inactive rabies virus into 9-year-old Joseph Meister, who had been severely bitten by a rabid dog 2 days prior. The immunization will be successful, and it marks the beginning of the modern era of immunization. Get your vaccines, people!
How has there never been a band called Rabbit Spinal Cord Suspensions? 1905, the fingerprints of John Walker become the first to be exchanged by police officials in Europe and America. Hey, buddy, want to see this?
In 1920, a radio compass is used for the aircraft navigation.
1928, Warner Brothers premieres the first all-talking motion picture, Lights of New York.
In 1996, America Online Incorporated settles a lawsuit filed in California alleging AOL had misled subscribers in regards to its monthly service charges. As a part of the settlement, customers received $22 million in free services and cash rebates.
2001, the Walt Disney Company announces it will close its Chicago Disney Quest location on September 4th and cease planning new locations pending a thorough review of its business model. And I missed that. That was amazing.
We liked Disney Quest. It was expensive, though.
It was.
In 2006, Microsoft announces that it'll release a handheld to rival the iPod. That would be the Zune.
Wonder what that's going to do. Same day, same year, scientists publish an analysis of the gene MC1R as found in the DNA of a woolly mammoth. The gene structure suggests the color of the hair in the animal's coat had similar varieties as in currently living animals.
Oh.
We all use the same dye. Birthdays?
Eva Green is 40 from Casino Royale, The Golden Compass, and Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, and Penny Dreadful.
Kevin Hart is 41 from Superhero Movie, This Is the End, Captain Underpants, Jumanji. Welcome to the jungle!
Adam Bush is 42. That's Warren on Buffy, Men at Work series, and Colony.
Jennifer Saunders is 62 from French and Saunders, Absolutely Fabulous, Shrek 2, Minions, Sing.
Alice Beasley is 66. That's Miss DePesto in Moonlighting, Legally Blonde, Recess. And wasn't she briefly in
National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 1? Jeffrey Rush is 68 from Shakespeare in Love, Mystery Men, House on Haunted Hill, and Pirates of the Caribbean.
John Byrne is 70. That's a comic artist and writer, X-Men, Fantastic Four, Superman, The Man of Steel, and Next Men.
Sylvester Stallone is 74 from Death Race 2000, Rocky, Nighthawks, the underappreciated Oscar, Judge Dredd, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Wow, Rambo doesn't even make that list. Ned Beatty is 83 from Exorcist 2, Otis in Superman, and Albert Pyon's Captain America, Toy Story 3.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1914, Vince McMahon Sr., an American wrestling promoter, founded the WWE.
Born in 1918, Sebastian Cabot, Family Affair, The 73 Miracle on 34th Street, Bagheera in The Jungle Book, and narrated the original Winnie the Pooh cartoons.
1922, William Shalit for Mighty Joe Young, The Incredible Shrinking Man, Twilight Zone the Movie, Interspace, a million things. If you see him, you'd be like, oh, hey,
oh,
Patty
that guy.
Duke's uncle.
In 1925, Merv Griffin was born. He created Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy.
1927, Janet Leigh from Psycho, Touch of Evil, Manchurian Candidate, The Fog, Halloween, 20 years later.
Born in 1931, Della Reese from Chico and the Man, Harlem Nights, and Touched by an Angel.
1936, Dave Allen, an incredibly funny man and host of the incredibly funny show Dave Allen at Large.
Well, on TV tonight on CBS, we get a rerun of The Neighborhood, a rerun of Bob Hart's Abishola, a rerun of All Rise, and a rerun of Bull.
ABC, Alex Michael, Trista Sutter on the 3-hour event, The Bachelor, the greatest seasons ever.
Yep. NBC, Western Regional Finals on a new The Titan Games and a rerun of The Wall, and Dateline NBC.
Fox, it's a rerun of 911, a rerun of 911 Lone Star, a rerun run 911.
If you're not caught up on shows by now, that's your own fault. On the CW, we get 2 reruns of Who's Line and then Fool Us, the home game on a new Penn & Teller Fool Us.
Freeform is showing Despicable Me.
AMC has the 2014 Godzilla.
If you think of Godzilla as Jaws, it makes perfect sense. Bravo! Guests invite their friends to join a six-course dinner, so Kiko scrambles as he faces his biggest challenge to date on a new below-deck Mediterranean.
Because they were completely out of food.
No, they're okay.
FX has Hidden Figures. Highly recommend.
FXX Simpsons Marathon. You get Brother from Another Series, Homer versus the 18th Amendment, and one of my all-time favorites, The Simpsons Spinoff Showcase.
Nice. On BBC America, Apollo 13.
Ash, Kenny Barr. Paramount's got Tombstone.
Sci-fi has Edward Scissorhands.
Snippety, snippety. TBS, at the family's urging, an animal behaviorist works with Klaus.
Phew.
On a new American Dad. Well, you know, if he's going to get back into the ski jump thing, he's got to work through the anger issues. You've got to be centered.
Yeah, nothing could go wrong.
Centered to do that.
Well, True TV has Ted. Wait, that was True?
Yeah, I don't understand how that works. TNT is showing Red 2. Redder, I suppose it is. Mauve? Who would be darker shades of red? I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Science has black holes declassified on a new How the Universe Works.
But if we're watching anything, it's the Lifetime Movie Network. A single mother who is a headmaster finds out that her 18-year-old vacation fling is transferring to her school.
Oh,
but
no.
She's unaware that he seeks revenge as he believes she played a role in separating his family and led to his father's death. Gina Holden and Jessica Belkin star in Sleeping with My Student.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad is a struggling public defender who cares for his brother Stefan, who is a semi-reclusive law partner who might be able to help him as he constructs an elaborate yet questionable plan for winning back a pair of wealthy potential clients. His trick is to help them reclaim some stolen money, which of course causes him to end up with Brady pointing a gun at him. Chad better hope the Little Women show up to save him, because if this can't be undone, he is going to have to change his name to the Disaster Artist. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Hey GRD, all the college hijinks have to be from the forgotten TBS show Glory Days. That's where they are, and then later they'll go to Stankowski's room. That is from Tommy. Well, Tommy, you're absolutely right. Last week, Chad and Abby were on Indeed Glory Days, which I thought was a hysterical show. It's a shame, you know, how some of that all ended up with people. But hey, if you know where they are this time or want to tell us what else is going on, you know, that was not the theme show somehow. Weird. It was set in the 80s, though, so it could have been. They should have done that. Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, just send a voicemail or text by dialing the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CREW.
I accidentally rented a movie that almost had that same title.
It was the dawn of the third age of comics, 15 years after the rise of the Comics Code Authority. The Bronze Age was a dream given form. Its goal? To portray superheroes in a way that was socially relevant by tackling real-world issues. It's a catch-all, a place to explore monsters, demons, gunslingers, gods, and superheroes alike. Writers and artists wrapped in house styles of sophisticated realism, creating the stuff of legends. There is no assurance of quality, but it's our last best hope for comic books. This is a retrospective of the true Golden Age. The year is 1970. The name of the podcast, Uncovering the Bronze Age. Tune into our feed for regular content at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com. Also home to the Quarter Bin Podcast and the Short Box Showcase.
This is Gareth David Lloyd from Torchwood, and this is Geek Radio Daily.
Billy Flynn.
Well, you know, it's not always about me. Though, you know, with him, if that's how it... Anyway, hi everybody, and welcome to this.
Okay, give me your roll.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength. Look it up.
You can have that or all kinds of things when you play games. And stuff is out from DriveThruRPG, like...
Well, I have 100 Cultist Home Finds,
ooh,
a modern setting. It's published by Fishwife Games, and the list contains 100 different things to find in the home of a cultist. Some expected, some unexpected, some just out of place. Other things horrifying, while some things seem perfectly innocent. Or are they? Perfect for modern settings, especially crime and horror. The GM should use this list to set a certain mood to a location, or either help the characters gain important clues, or perhaps to throw them off entirely. So that one is 100 cultist home finds in the modern setting.
And if you need to collect stuff for your gaming sessions, we also have a list of 100 different kids you'd find in a high school setting, including first and last name, gender, class, click, interest.
Well, there's always a princess, a jock, a nerd.
And they're going to break that down for you. You got your kids associated with all kinds of things, perfect for a variety of modern settings, from lighthearted teen drama to crime, and also good for low-level supers, you know, especially if you're going teen horror, vampire killers, and also usable for early post-apocalyptic settings, zombie outbreaks, and other cyberpunk and dystopia. If you need teens, they've got them here for you. Add this to the previous versions they have and fill up a noisy high school with 100 high school kids. 8.
Well, those are some handy references, because not everybody is like an author or a writer if you want to be a GM for a game, so that's pretty cool. Also, we've got The Pyrian Dagger, published by Michael Brown. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. The heroes discover the truth behind this old maxim for themselves when a simple run of cargo to a xeno-archaeological team on the planet Alcost goes awry. The expedition seems to have unearthed secrets long buried that should have stayed that way. But what secrets? And why is a tribe of barbarians willing to commit murder to protect them? The Pyrian Dagger is a short adventure for the Cepheus engine and the original science fiction role-playing game, OSFRPG.
The truth is the world is stranger, scarier than most people can imagine. Monsters and magic and occult horrors are real, and they're out there preying on folk who go around unaware of the danger around them. Take on the role of an oddball or a misfit who's going to investigate occult mysteries, help the folk get caught up in them, and fight the monsters any way they can. They're just people with knowledge, skills, determination, hopefully some luck, probably a deal with the Sci-Fi Channel. The game is powered by a simplified version of Powered by the Apocalypse rules, such as those used for World of Dungeons, but modified and altered to suit the urban fantasy genre. So pick up the game and grab your dice if you want a rule-light system to play out urban fantasy stories like Angel, Hellblazer, Constantine, Hunter, The Vigil. It's Shadowed Alleys by Red Entropy Games.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Allegedly reliable rumors are circulating that Batman Beyond may be joining the DCEU soon.
Ooh.
Being reported, a live-action Batman Beyond film is actively in the works at Warner Brothers. Currently, Warner Brothers nor DC will comment on it. The rumor is that this project could be announced at this year's DC Fandom event in August.
Michael Keaton, you better be joining.
Damn right. If he returns as Bruce Wayne in The Flash, he's got time to reprise his role in Batman Beyond, something that Batman fans have been begging for a long, long, long time now.
I mean, it seems anything as possible in a Snyder Cut world.
We'll get to you, Ayers. It will be interesting to see Keaton return to this classic role. Because, you know, Sony, Marvel, are they going to have an issue with him being back in DC? He's part of the MCU-ish.
What, just file a DC sin resist?
If not, that means that Terry McGinnis could very well be played by Tom Holland.
Wow. Well, Games Workshop is turning its tabletop empire into a whole transmedia push of comics, live-action TV shows, and animated series. And now, yet another is joining the fray.
Only in death does duty end.
They have announced The Interrogator. It's currently the third animated series in development by Games Workshop, recently established Warhammer Storyforge branch, behind the CG Blood Angel series Angel of Death and the anthology series Hammer and Bolter. Being developed with animation studio Sun and Moon, Interrogator follows the titular hero, described as a down-on-his-luck inquisitorial agent facing a hard time in the grim darkness of the 41st millennium.
Innocence proves nothing.
This interrogator has the explicitly miserable task of losing his master, presumably an inquisitor. The Imperium's anti-heretical elite secret operatives, we'll be learning a lot more about in Eisenhorn, the upcoming live-action show, leaving him alone and facing an uncertain future.
Chaos claims the unwary of their incomplete. A true man may flinch away from its embrace if he is a stalwart and he grids his soul.
Nothing much is known other than the 2D animated show will adopt a noir-tinged, desaturated color palette, and that the announcement drew attention to the interrogator's weapon, a stubber pistol of the same style used by authoritarian police forces of the Palatine Enforcers in the 40K spinoff game Necromunda, which could very well mean that our hero will find himself flung into the sinister underhive of one of the many dystopian cities humanity calls home. Maybe we'll see a few more Necromunda gangs causing trouble for him. Or maybe whatever heretical threat waylaid his master, alien, demonic, or otherwise.
He who sees his own doom can better avoid his path. It's he who sees the dooms of others that can deliver it.
Well, good for Games Workshop. Also a bit arduous. 3 animated shows announced so far, and they're all set in the sci-fi world of 40K rather than the fantastical leanings of classical Warhammer or its rebooted successor Age of Sigmar. It'd be nice to see the company turn a similarly enthusiastic eye to its fantasy worlds, too. Our conquest is inevitable. Oh, that was probably your line. Sorry.
No, it's not.
Okay. Our conquest is inevitable. Our ascension, a matter of time. Let none who are wise deny our destiny.
David Farr, writer of The Night Manager and Hannah, is taking a trip to the Village of the Damned. Farr is set to adapt John Wyndham's novel, The Midwich Cuckoos, which inspired Village of the Damned, into an 8-part series. The book concerns a small town where all of the women mysteriously become pregnant on the same day after everyone passed out for hours, eventually giving birth to some creepy kids with telepathic abilities, which makes them important.
And what's important about them is whether they're good or bad, and these children are bad.
The series is being developed for Comcast European broadcaster Sky. The book synopsis, The book was first adapted to the screen as Village of the Damned in 1960, followed by a sequel, Children of the Damned, and was adapted again, Village of the Damned, in 1995, directed by John Carpenter, starring Christopher Reeve, which wasn't the best, though they did do a good job showing a bunch of demigods with no feelings.
Without feelings, you're nothing. You're just a second-rate mimic of a higher organism.
There aren't many details about the new adaptation. The novel set in the UK is the 60s version. Carpenter's was set in present-day America. This is a UK production, so... set in the UK, sure, but modern
cheaper
day,
that way.
what 1950s style? What's the setting of the book? What is it going to be exactly?
Well, will I have to think of a brick wall as I watch it?
The new series is being created at ITV Studios backed Route 24, run by producer Mark Samuelson and Snowden Productions, the sister company of Bronte Film and Television. The producers feel in our current climate, the examination of humanity through the filter of these strangely connected kids with powers will really sell. They feel the eyes have it.
Well, hey, any fans out there of Clone High? Well, that reboot.
Oh, man, really?
You've always wanted is finally happening. So Beavis and Butthead isn't the only animated show getting reimagined for television right now. MTV Studios announced today that Phil Lord, Chris Miller, and Bill Lawrence are teaming up again to work on a reboot of their cult hit animation series, Clone High, which originally ran on MTV from 2002 to 2003. The press release describes the reboot as an updated version of the series that explores high school and coming-of-age tension through the eyes of historical figures and U.S. presidents.
I can't wait to see their Hamilton episode.
Right? Erica Rivniola, who's a writer on the original series, will serve as showrunner for the reboot and write the pilot episode with Lord and Miller. Like the original, Clone High will follow prominent historical figures who have been cloned and placed back in high school. The press release notes, including Abraham Lincoln, Cleopatra, Joan of Arc, John F. Kennedy, and more.
See?
As they face the trials and tribulations of normal teenage life, they're not going to throw away their shot.
Nope.
Presumably, this means that the reboot will feature a new cast of clone historical figures. Its inclusion of Gandhi as a character in the original series ultimately led to the show's cancellation after one season, as well as an apology from MTV after protesters in India objected to the character's portrayal.
I want to be in the room where it happens.
It's not known yet where any of the original voice cast, including Will Forte, Nicole Sullivan, Krista Miller, and Michael McDonald, will return for the reboot. But in any case, the co-creators have, in one form or another, been trying to reboot Clone High for years, and now it is finally happening. Or what would be really cool is if this turned out to be, you know, like a backdoor pilot for Seventh Son by J.C. Hutchins.
So Kong Skull Island and King of Summer writer Jordan Vogt Roberts has been working on a Metal Gear Solid film for something like 15 years.
Forever.
So there's been some problems. But quite recently, he said something new. He's going, I'm trying to get an animated series going that brings back David Hayter, that brings back the original voice cast, and doing that in tandem with the Metal Gear Solid movie.
How hard is it to animate a cardboard box?
David Hayter's not voiced the video game character in any official capacity since Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker like a decade ago. He was replaced with Kiefer Sullivan in Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain.
What, that's the game you only have 24 hours to beat?
Vogt Roberts says the animated series he has in mind will run in tandem with the movie and says he hasn't given up hope of bringing Hideo Kojima's seminal game series to film.
Whew, but getting that made's going to be more slippery than Liquid Snake.
The game series has you playing a special forces operative assigned to find the Metal Gear super weapon, a bipedal walking tank with the ability to launch nuclear weapons. The game series is famous for its complicated and rich narrative, with each new entry jumping around to different points in the timeline. And this
so you'll have no idea what's going on.
No, but maybe we'll finally figure out exactly how he got those cigarettes in.
Ew.
GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Always a good time. you will enjoy it. Hey, thanks to everybody that came out and played Jackbox with us. That was fantastic. Good times. Hey, go check out the website. You know the one I talk about, geekradiodaily.com. Make sure you see, because Carol the Cat's got a new one out there. It's a new Cinemistress. What? Oh, my goodness.
And Poker coming back up on July 11th.
Poker is coming back up on July 11th. This stuff should be pinned. We're playing again this coming Friday night, some Jackbox stuff with some home games created. Full 64 thing. And if you can figure out why you need 64, drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or send a note / text to
510-GRD-CRIM.
And we will see you.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
good time.
I asked for an army and all I got was you. You were not enough.
Lawgiver 2. 25 round sidearm with mission variable voice programmed ammunition. Signal flare.
Flare.
Yours, if you graduate. Mark IV, Lawmaster, improved model. With dual onboard laser cannons, vertical takeoff and landing flight capability. Range, 500 kilometers.
Active. Malfunction.
Yours, if you can ever get it to work. All of these things you see here are toys. At the end of the day, when you're all alone in the dark, the only thing that counts is this, the law. And you will be alone when you swear to uphold these ideals. For most of us, there's only dust in the streets. For the few of us that survive to old age, the proud loneliness of the long walk. A walk that every judge must take outside these city walls, into the unknown, and there spend your last remaining days taking law to the lawless. This is what it means to be a judge. This is the commitment I expect. Class dismissed.